still don't have the Gary jerseys. We need to get on that, Denver. Come on, let's get some Gary jerseys out there. I'm gonna be that first buyer if you get those in the Pepsi Center.
Speaking of jerseys, how do I get my Wancho jersey? Do you know who I got to? Tim, you there? Can you get me a Wancho jersey, please? I'd appreciate it. Thanks, bro.
Want some, but see, I create sounds that make your ears go numb. Peace to Shan Zab, yeah, you know how we go. My best friend Steven at the Home Depot. Gloriton is in the house, I can't forget Southside.
Hello and what's walk good, Nuggets Nation? Like that welcome to the Diggy and Denver podcast, the podcast for the people, by the people.
As always, I'll be your humble and handsome host for the evening, accompanied by my co-host Logan. We're going to be taking away a little bit, and we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the expectations on our players and what we had before the season started, and now that we're about halfway through in a little bit more, and talk about if they've, you know, been above that, been below that, or they're about right at what our expectations were at the beginning of the season, and then talk about what we expect for the future of the Mile High basketball and where we think it's going to be going and some of the talks and that stuff. So we'll be going over about how many players are we going to do, Lou?
We're going to do six players in this first part because we really like talking about these guys, so it's going to extend out a little bit. So we're going to do Emmanuel Mudiay, Jameer Nelson, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Jamal Murray, and Danilo Gallinari in this one. And then you want to check out part two. That will include Wilson Chandler, Kenneth Freed, Darrell Arthur, Juan Hernan Gomez, and Nikola Jokic.
Call the boy by his name. That's Juancho Hernan Gomez. Juancho, what's good, baby? It's always good to have you around. We appreciate you being the official sponsor of the Dig in Denver podcast. Of course, I'm playing. Juancho does not support us in any way, shape, or form, but we love him nonetheless. Let's go ahead and let's dig in Denver.
Honey, check it out. You got me mesmerized. With your black hair and your fat ass thighs. Street poetry is my everyday. But yo, I gotta stop when you drop my way. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian.
All right, so we're gonna start off with Emmanuel Mudiay. And so first off, we're gonna talk about what we were expecting of him at the beginning of the year. So what I really wanted from Emmanuel Mudiay was to increase his shooting percentage and drop his turnovers, and he's done one of those. He's dropped his turnovers a little bit. His shooting percentage is still tough, and a lot of Nuggets fans have been really frustrated with him not being able to finish when he gets down to the lane and not be able to finish on those easy jumpers. It's tough when you're that young, but He's got to show some sort of improvement here soon, or else the Nuggets faithful is gonna question him a little bit. I'm one of the biggest Emmanuel Mudiay fans that's out there, and I really want him to succeed, but he needs to start making some shots and becoming more of a threat on offense so he can distribute out to our guys, and it'll be a little bit more effective for our team as a whole. So what do you think about Emmanuel Mudiay so far this year, Derek?
Yeah, well, first off, I just want to talk to Tim, because I know Tim listens to these podcasts all the time as well. Me and Tim, once again, those lunch dates all the time with Wancho as well, scheming on big things over here at Dig in Denver. But, you know, I saw the trade rumors that he was up for, kind of just valuing his trade value and seeing what's out there. There's a couple different things. One, like you, I'm a huge Emmanuel Mudiay. I love our whole squad. There's not one guy on this team I don't really like, kind of. There's a couple people that irk me, but I mean, I still love you know, our whole squad anyways. But there's a couple things I don't get about it. From a supporter point, he has so much potential, and we have so much vested in him that I don't think we should give up on him yet. He's had a couple really good games. He's had stretches of great games. He's had stretches of really, really bad games. He has a very short leash as far as how much time he has to really show that he's been doing stuff. And honestly, I would even go as far to say that he's been on the hot seat this whole season. This entire season from the start, there's been mad amounts of haters, continuous negative comments made about him, which is understandable. I'm not saying they're not completely, you know, invalid. But at the same time, I'm willing to give some more time for him. I really like his game. I love his size. I think he can be a really good player for us. If he can get hot like that on a consistent level, he's going to be dangerous, and that can be so beneficial for our team. His defense is awful, just like the rest of our team's defense is awful, but it's something we can work on. Coach Malone has been known as a defensive coach. I don't think, and even he said, that he's worked as much with the guys individually as he would like to. So I think there's been a lot of expectations on Emmanuel since he first came in. We talked about it before on this podcast about, you know, how it's been a lot of pressure for a young man to come in and really take the keys to a franchise like this, underperform a little bit, get all the negative hate and criticism. And he still came out this year, and I think he's done really good. He's been struggling with that back issue. I really didn't think it was going to give him that many problems, but darn, it's been holding him up for a little while. And that game that he came in, his stat line looked good enough, but his body didn't look right. Something wasn't pretty out there when he was moving around.
Yeah, and just like that injury last year that Emmanuel had, he came back and he was as good as he's been, or he's been as good as he's ever been in the NBA when he came back from that injury. And hopefully this a little bit of time off and getting to see the game from the outside again kind of brings him back in, and hopefully he can succeed again like he did last year at post-injury. And one of the things I really like about Emmanuel Mudiay is he's one of the biggest cheerleaders on the bench right now while he's hurt. He's always out there cheering on his guys, and that's always something you want in a locker room, trying to build that winning culture. First off, you need to make the guys love the game. The guys love each other, so they play well together and can succeed when the times get a little bit tough in the playoffs. And once you go through those rough streaks, you need to have that bond together. And you're really starting to get to see that with the Denver Nuggets here, seeing them jumping around on the bench. I mean, they've been doing that all year, but you're really seeing that chemistry come together, and it's fun to watch. And I mean, they've been playing a lot better as of late. And I think if they can continue this after the All-Star game and All-Star weekend and all those festivities, it'd be great to see these guys get on a little roll after this and see what we can do with a little bit of momentum.
I remember when he said that last year when he came out from that injury, and he said one of the biggest things that was really helpful for him was just being able to sit back and watch the game, really see how it's being played, how guys are succeeding or failing in certain areas, and that really helped him come back strong. So it looks like we have another storm brewing for hopefully this kid to make some good strides, and let's hope that's what happens. But touching on my previous point that I was talking about too is, like, you know, I'm a huge supporter for him and all this stuff, but he honestly has had some rough games this year. And across the league, the consensus is, you know, on the podcast I listen to and the articles I read for different, you know, outlets, is that he's not the greatest player, and people don't have a lot of faith in him, just like, unfortunately, some of the Denver fans here and some of the Denver media. But if that's the case as well, then how much value do we have for him? What is giving Emmanuel Mudiay up going to give us in return if the whole league sees him, as a lot of people do, and that he's had struggles and that he hasn't been super consistent and hasn't had great stretches of games? He has the potential, but there's not a lot of leverage there when, you know, the guy has had some struggles this season. So just from a supporter side, that I don't want to give up on him yet, and that I want to see him succeed really bad, really, really bad. You know, I also don't think that we're going to get a good return for him, anything that's going to be substantial enough to part with him. I'm partial. I'm very, very, very biased on that. But, you know, I hope we keep the kid. I see a bright future for him here in Denver.
All right, yeah. So let's move on to Jameer Nelson here now. So from the beginning of the year, I've really not been the biggest Jameer Nelson fan. The type of basketball that I like to see is the ball moving around, going side to side, moving around like we usually do in our first team with Jokic in there. And a lot of the times, Jameer Nelson gets the ball a little sticky in his hands, and that's not the type of basketball I personally like to watch. Some people like the one-on-one stuff and breaking ankles like Jameer can do. But I think that coming into the year, we wanted a reliable backup behind Emmanuel Mudiay that we could count on in tough stretches when Mudiay might not be playing well, or when the team really needed it, just to get a little bit of stability back in that lineup. And I think for the most part, Jameer's done a pretty good job on that. As of late, Jameer's done a really good job and has been playing really well, moving the ball around, getting some assists, scoring well, hitting those threes at a very high percentage right now. I just think that he needs to be a little more consistent. I just think that down the stretch, he needs to be a little bit more careful with the ball. A couple games, he's just throwing the ball away at key times, and that's not what we need from our veteran point guard. I think he just needs to hold onto the ball a little bit tighter, make the correct pass, not the fancy, crazy pass, to allow us to get the good shot and not the okay shot.
Yeah, when I was just talking earlier about how I love everybody on the team, Jameer is one of those ones where it's not necessarily a love-hate, but it's the fact that you were talking about, we brought him in to be a consistent veteran backup for us, and well, definitely, like you were just saying, as of late, he's been doing a pretty good job at that. Just some of the boneheaded decisions that he's made in some of the games and stuff as a veteran is just really rough for me to really get behind, because you don't expect that stuff to be made from your veteran. You don't ever want to say, well, you know, I don't want Jameer to be him. You know, shoot your shot. You know, that he is who he is, and he's had a lot of success in the league for what he can do. Like you said, he's very quick. He breaks ankles. He hits shots. He gets hot, you know, especially from the three. But some of the turnovers that he has, some of the decisions that he has, and it's not even the fact that it's just sticky with Jameer Nelson. Sometimes it's the shot selection. We're just starting to build up some steam, and then we come down, Jameer's open, hey, chuck it up. That's probably, besides the stickiness, one of the things that irks me the most, especially when he starts getting hot, is his heat checks. They're just open shots, and they're not good shots. Not every open shot is a good shot. Just because it's open at the three doesn't mean you should take it, obviously. That's something everybody knows. And when he does some of those as your veteran point guard who's been in the league for a minute, who's supposed to, you know, you would expect something like that from Emmanuel or some other hot shot, a Devin Booker. But I just really wish he, and hope to see that he tones it down, especially in the playoffs, because boneheaded decisions like that will kill you in a series against great teams like Golden State. So I hope that during the playoffs, he tones it back, really comes into the, hey, I'm just going to be a facilitator. I'm just going to get these guys open. I just want to get the ball moving, and I'm going to hit my big shots when I need to hit my big shots. That's what I'm hoping for. As far as where he's at in the season and where he's at, I'd say he's about par, you know, nothing over by any means. If he's not par for the expectations on the season, he's definitely a little under from my personal perspective. So with all that being said, Logan, and we kind of skipped Emmanuel, so I'll ask about Emmanuel first. If you were going to give him a grade as opposed to what his expectations were at the beginning of the season and where he is right now, what kind of grade would you give him?
All right, so I think I'm going to give him a C at this point. I think that there's still a lot of potential for him to grow, and I hate the word potential. We keep saying that here in Denver, but I want to keep that going with Emmanuel Mudiay. We need to give him more time, and like you were saying, he's might not have too much value around the league right now, so we might as well keep him and hope for that potential to turn into some true talent like we've seen a couple of our guys in Denver here blossom with. So we're going to give Emmanuel Mudiay a C so far this season, and hopefully he can upgrade that down the road post-All-Star game.
Yeah, I'd agree. That's about right. Okay, and so now going back to Jameer Nelson, what kind of grade would you give Jameer Nelson on the expectations from the start of the season to where he is right now?
I think from what we expected him to do, just be that veteran presence there in our locker room especially, he's done a great job there. Emmanuel and Will Barton have said repeatedly that he has been a huge part of their evolution as a basketball player. So I think on and off the court, we're going to have to give Jameer Nelson a B minus, somewhere around there. He's just because he's had a few games that he's really hurt us offensively and turning the ball over like that. We need to have a little bit more confidence in him down the stretch to be able to really rely on him as a veteran presence.
Yeah, B minus, C plus, somewhere right around there. I think that's fair. So I think that's pretty good on them. I don't want to get too heavy on one person. So let's keep it moving, and let's move to one of your other favorite players on the team, Mr. Gary Harris. Why don't you give us some thoughts about what the expectations were at the beginning of the season and how you think those have progressed so far?
All right, Gary's another guy just like Emmanuel Mudiay that we wanted to see a little bit better shooting percentages from him, and so far this year we've seen that. He's up to 41% three-point percentage, which is behind Darrell Arthur and Wancho, who have had a little bit more limited sample size. He's been our most consistent three-point shooter, and that's been really great to see, and especially as of late, he's really been getting hot from behind the arc, being able to hit those long, deep threes, and it's been fun to watch him. One thing that I really love about Gary is his ability to finish at the rim. The one thing that as of late, he hasn't been able to finish. I mean, he missed a wide-open dunk. He's been missing layups every once in a while. That's not really what we've come to expect with Gary, so hopefully he can kind of wrap that back up and be able to finish a little bit better at the rim, because he's doing a great job behind the arc and being able to create shots that way. Just if he can be a little bit more consistent driving into the lane like we've been used to. I love to see Gary play like that. He's one of my favorite players on the team, if not my favorite. So I really want to see him succeed, and I think that he's been doing great so far this year from what we've expected.
Would it be fair to say, confidence-wise, Gary is one of the most consistent players on our team?
Definitely. I think that he's a player that we can count on getting at least 12 points a game. We don't need to run the offense around him. He's just going to find his shots, going to get steals, get open easy layups, and he's going to get a couple wide open threes a game that he'll be able to knock down. So we can always count on him to get 10-plus at least. And that's a nice addition to our starting lineup that has been a little bit shaky throughout the year. So having that presence there to have a little bit more confidence in our starting lineup like that is really nice to have.
Would it also be fair to say that Gary Harris is one of the most underrated, undervalued guys on our team?
This is 100% biased, but yes, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league with his defense and his offense. We don't really, like I said, run any offense for him, but he gets a lot of points per game. I mean, the Minnesota game, he had 22 points. And at the end of the night, you always look back and say, oh, Gary had that much? Like, oh, that's nice. I mean, he scores. He doesn't have those bunches of scoring back to back to back and just go off on people. But continually through the game, he's one of those guys that scores 5 points each quarter. Then at the end of the game, he has 20 points. It doesn't seem too hard to get 5 points each quarter to do that, but 20 points a game, he doesn't have that, but 20 points a game is really efficient and really good scoring. So if you can just space it out like that, it's really nice to have Gary on our team and have a guy that is able to do that sort of scoring.
Yeah, he was crazy hot in that Minnesota game. He was buckets, man. He shot all the way from Greeley on that one of his first shots. That was deep. That was deep, deep. And that was like digging Denver deep, you know what I'm talking about. Just going about on that, at the beginning of the season, people were talking about him. The people were excited about him, of course. I'm not going to say the Denver fan and Denver sphere wasn't mentioning him at all, but there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of expectations for him and what he was going to do for our team. So I would say from the beginning of the season to now, he's probably going to get one of our better grades. There's one more person. I don't know if you could think of who it would be that would get a better grade, but you know he's going to get a pretty decent grade from me. I'm going to say, you know, definitely like a B. He's had a couple of struggle games, like you said, and some of the inconsistencies as of late. But as a whole in the season, when you take that whole sample size, I've been really impressed with Gary. You were really, really big on him. I wasn't. I'm going to come out and say right away, this season's impressed me. I love his motor and everything that he does for sure. Yeah, I would definitely give him a solid B. Wood, how do you feel about that?
I think that's completely wrong. I'm just kidding. I think he should. I'd give him about a B-plus right now. Nobody really is going to be going out there buying Gary Harris jerseys, except for me. I've been looking there at the Pepsi Center every time I go to a game. I've been to about 7 or 8 so far this year. Still don't have the Gary jerseys. We need to get on that, Denver. Come on, let's get some Gary jerseys out there. I'm going to be that first buyer if you get those in the Pepsi Center. So, yeah, I'm going to give Gary Harris a B-plus. All right, so next man up will be Will Barton. And so far during this podcast, me and Derek here have been pretty consistent and pretty agreeable on each guy so far. This guy, I know for a fact with mine and Derek's talks over the past year or two, that this one's going to differ a little bit, but hopefully we'll give you guys a little bit of drama, a little bit of conflict here. So Derek, I'll give it to you. We'll start off with Will Barton.
Will of the Thriller Barton, A-plus all the way around. He's like the LeBron James of the league for Denver. He's probably the best player in the Western Conference for dang sure. Yeah, A-plus, no doubt. No, I'm just playing. You're right, though. I'm a big Will Barton supporter. Always have been since, and to be honest with you, I didn't know about him when he was playing with Portland. It wasn't until I saw him coming to Denver is when I really started doing my research and following him on social media and really watching his highlights. And I was looking at this and I was like, dang, this kid, his dude, you know, this grown man, he's got some talent. What I saw from him was like, he was lanky. He was athletic. He was like an uncoordinated athletic. I don't know. It's weird to describe. He's like a Corey Brewer. And that's what I remember telling you and one of our other buddies, Dylan, too. I was like, he's going to be a better Corey Brewer. And that's what I said at the beginning. I've been riding with that. I've been had a lot of confidence in him and seeing him score and go off. I'm not going to lie and say that he's been completely on par to what I really want him to do, but he's had some amazing games. He's definitely one of our most integral pieces in our offense as far as what he offers off the bench and lights up the scoring side. He's that plug. He's that spark plug that really can get that second unit going. he also hurts us a little bit. After that really, really big game that he had, the next game he came out, the boy was trying to put up another high point game, and it just really wasn't working for us. I wish that he would steer away from that, but that kind of goes back to that Jameer Nelson thing that we were talking about. You can't ask a player to change who he is and how he plays the game. That's why they're where they're at. You know, they're there for a reason because of their skill set. I just wish that he would sometimes play a little bit more in the offense as opposed to creating his own scoring. But there's no doubt that Will Barnes, they're all one of my favorite players. It's hard to say that, but no doubt he's one of my favorite players. I think he's done great. I'd give him a B+ for sure. I know we're not going too crazy on these gradings, but I would definitely give him a B+ to an A as far as where he's come from last year, his expectations, and how he's been producing on the court for us.
Yeah, just like I said earlier, this is where we're going to disagree here. What I did enjoy about Will Barton last year was his consistency. And you were always going to get 14 to 20 points from him, and you could count on that night in and night out. And that's something that I really enjoyed with him last year, but he has not been able to do that so far this year. There's been stretches that Will Barton has really struggled shooting, especially from the three-point line. He has not shot at a very high percentage so far this year. He's obviously had great games where he goes off, and he's one of those type of players that will shoot you into a game or he'll shoot you out of a game. And that's not something we need. I'm not gonna say that. And I don't think that's something that we really need in our second unit. I think that Will Barton's a great player, but I'm not huge on his game. Like I said, I like the ball moving around a lot, and he's a sticky guy. He likes to keep the ball in his hands, move around a little bit, shimmy shake, get to the rim. And, I mean, he is efficient sometimes at that, but a lot of the times when he's not, it really hurts our second unit, and it really hurts our team as a whole when we can't score off the bench and our starters get that good lead, but then our second unit can't keep it going because we're just jacking up shots or taking wild drives into the lane and just throwing the ball up. I think that he needs to play a little bit more within the offense. I think with the addition of Mason Plumlee, being able to pass the ball in that second unit, maybe it'll get him a little bit more open shots so he doesn't have to create as much. We'll see how that plays out down the road. But I think the acquisition of Mason Plumlee will definitely help Barton be able to shoot at a higher percentage. So personally, I would give Will Barton a C just because he has not been able to show that sort of consistency that we had gotten used to last year. I think that's a big problem right now with him. He just needs to find his game. And I do like him. I just hope that he can play a little bit more within the offense and play a little bit more team basketball.
Can't spell team without Barton in it, Logan. Figure it out. Come on, bro. Now, you make some good points. Just as a little tidbit in there, he is only behind a Wilson Chandler, a Danilo Gallinari, and a Nikola Jokic in points average this season at 13.9, so pretty much 14 points. He averages 3.4 assists and 4.7 rebounds. Anyways, moving on to the next one. Go ahead, Lo, take it away. Who are we talking about?
So next we're going to move on to one of the more exciting guys here in Denver. We're going to go with Jamal Murray next.
The Blue Arrow. What's up, boy? I see you hitting them threes. Looking like a real rookie sometimes. No, I'm just playing. He's good. The kid is special. So Jamal Murray starting at the beginning of the season. I think a lot of high hopes for what he showed us in Summer League and from what everybody saw from there. There's a lot of high expectation. I know that we certainly feel, and that a lot of Nuggets feel, that we got an absolute steal at 7. Thank you, Celtics. Thank you, everybody before him. I can't tell you. I was so scared. I thought we were going to get Dragon Bender. I was seriously, I think I was tweeting at the Nuggets every other 2 minutes, just please tell Tim. Please tell Tim to not get that kid. I don't want him. And when we got Jamal, I was pretty excited about that. I think it was a steal. I love it. His expectations for the season, I think it just ranges who you were talking to and what kind of fan you were talking to as well. I think the casual fan probably didn't, you know, maybe not have known too much about him or had too much high expectations. For the Nuggets heads who were really paying attention, I think the expectations were a little bit higher on that. As far as a Nuggets head expectation, I would honestly give him about an A. He has shown that he can score. he has shown that he can shoot the threes. And some of the best times at the beginning of this season is when the kid came in and was lighting up the three. I was there for one of the first games when he went off. That arena was lit. Like, it was, it's obviously changed because we've had multiple really good games. But at that point in the season, which was really early, I can't remember who it was, one of the other media, Chicago. It was against Chicago, and one of the other media personnels, it was either Adam or Jeff or one of the good guys over there, but they had said, they're like, that was one of the funnest Nuggets game I've been to in a minute. It was so much fun, and it really was. I mean, I was screaming. We were going crazy. We were talking a bunch of trash to the Chicago fans behind us. It was absolutely awesome. The kid is electric. His everything people were hating on him at the beginning of the season, his athleticism, his, you know, his quickness, all that stuff, he's proved everybody wrong. He's played like a rookie sometimes. That's going to happen. But, man, the kid, I feel like he's excelled. I'm ridiculously excited for our future with between him and Wancho and that really tall dude. I don't know his name. Center. I don't know. He passes the ball sometimes.
Jokic?
Something along the lines there. But that kid is – all these kids are dope. These kids are so fun to watch, and I'm pumped for what we can build around these guys. So I'd give him an A just because he's really shown some of that scoring ability, and I think it's awesome to see.
I guess this is going to be one that we differ on a little bit as well. The biggest thing with me for Jamal Murray is his inconsistency at the three-point line this year. He's shown those flashes, obviously, like you were talking about, that he can just light it up from threes, and that's what we were expecting him to do here in the NBA, and that's why we drafted him. We were one of the worst teams at the three-point line last year. And now we're up to, I think, 14th or something like that. That's more of a collective effort. It's not just one guy making threes. I think it's to play to our offense, moving the ball a little bit around better like that. But the problem that I have with Jamal Murray is his inability to make the wide open three every time. He's a great shooter. I think a lot of the times it's gotten into his head a little bit. He's just sitting out there all alone at the three-point line, hoping it goes in and not knowing it's going to go in. He needs to know that he has that confidence because his teammates trust him, his coach trusts him. They always tell him, all of his teammates, and Malone tell him to keep shooting and keep shooting, and he needs to have that confidence that all of his teammates have in him to become a great shooter in this league. I think he can be one of those great shooters, but so far his inconsistency at the three has worried me a little bit. But going into the year, if there was anything I wanted him to struggle at, it would be at the three-point line, because I know he's a great shooter, so I know he's going to get better at that. But what I really liked about him is his ability to finish at the rim. He's really, really good at finishing with his left hand, and those floaters and pull-up jumpers. I didn't know he had that much game besides three-point shots, and that's really what I'd like to see about him. So going forward, for the rest of the year, if he can just be a little bit more consistent, I think he needs to be around that 40% range from three to be a little bit more effective, and to also open up the lane a little bit for him, getting those pump fakes and be able to get down into the lane if he's a real threat behind the three. So overall, I think I'd give him a B. I really like the kid, but he needs to show a little bit more improvement. But, I mean, he's a young kid. I know he's going to do that. Going forward, hopefully next year when we do this, I'll be giving him an A++, and I hope the best for him, and he's one of my favorite players as well. And one last thing before we finish this off, I think that his defensive effort is great, but he just needs to be a little bit smarter on the defensive end. I don't want to get too far into this, but just watch the next time you see him play defense. He's active, like you're able to see. But his first step is always with his front foot, and that gets him one half step behind. Just look out for that, and you'll be able to see that. And if he could just correct that, get that drop step down with the back foot and be able to stay with his defender a little bit better, he can be really effective on both ends of the court. So, yeah, I'm going to have to give him a B there.
Okay, so we weren't completely far off. I was almost expecting you to be like, oh, a C. But anyways, we're not too far off. I think the kid's been playing good. Like you said, he's a rookie. He's going to have some of those inconsistencies. That's just some of the rookie play that comes with, you know, them. So that's why I give him a little bit higher of a grade. But we're pretty close. We see similar on that situation.
All right, so the last player that we're going to talk about today on this podcast will be Danilo Gallinari. So his game has been a little bit up and down so far this year with injuries. Like, I mean, we were all expecting some sort of minor injuries throughout the year with him. I mean, he hasn't had a healthy season since he entered the league. But he's our highest scorer, like he has been the last, I don't know how many years, four, I think. He's a great offensive threat, but my biggest thing on him is, this might spark a little bit of controversy here, but I think he's our worst defender that we have on the Denver Nuggets. And at one point, he was, I think, one of our most active and one of our hardest working defenders, maybe two or three years ago. But at this point, I don't see the effort from him on the defensive side of the ball, and that's obviously one of our biggest struggles that we've had as a team this year. And I think him playing 38, I think, minutes a game, being in that often and playing that bad of defense, it's tough for me to see how rough he's been playing on the defensive side of the ball. And I want to see a little bit more effort from him. I know he's getting a little bit older, but I want him to have a little bit more effort on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm going to give him two separate grades. I'm going to give him an offensive grade and a defensive grade. I'm going to say his offense, he's been shooting the three-point ball really well so far this year. So I'm going to give him a B-plus offensive. He was averaging 19 points a game last year, and now he's down to 17. But with the surgence of Nikola Jokic, that's not too surprising. So I think his offense has been really good so far this year. I'm going to give his defense, like I said, we're the worst player, in my opinion, on the defensive side of the ball, on one of the worst defensive teams in the league. I mean, I'm going to have to give him about a D on that one. If you guys see something different, let me know. But now I'm going to hand it off to you, Derek, to see what you think about Dino.
Dino is one of those other things. You made that topic to me a couple weeks ago, or I think it was about a month ago, and you're like, I think Dino's the worst player. And you backed that up by looking at some defensive players, our worst defensive player. And you backed that up by actually going and looking at some defensive metrics. And didn't you say he was actually one of the worst out of our entire team?
Yeah, I forgot the exact number, but he was below Emmanuel Mudiay, who's got a lot of criticism for his defense. And I mean... It's tough to have a guy that plays that many minutes have that tough of defensive metrics. So, I mean, I'm not going strictly off those metrics. From what I see and adding in those metrics, I really think that he needs to improve his defensive skills.
Yeah, I agree. I think we both talked about it. We're not guys that just are straight numbers and facts guys. You know, a lot of it's about the feel of the game and from, you know, us being, you know, players of in the past about 100 years ago. We just use it for backup and supporting for the arguments that we make. So, it's very interesting to think and see and talk about all that good stuff. As far as from the beginning of the season, I'll be real honest with you. The last 4 years, I have not been a big Gallo supporter, not for the person that he is or the player or anything. It was just the inconsistency just from injuries. And that's not something that's necessarily his fault either. It's just I couldn't stand how often he was hurt. He was good when he played. It was almost like a Tony Romo thing. When he plays, he's good. But most of the time, he's playing hurt or he's not playing at all. And that really irked me because I just wanted somebody who was really consistent. It's like I said, it's not necessarily a hash or a bad thing against him. It's just one thing that really upset me. So to see him being more consistent this year, a little bit healthier, I'd say he's healthier than he was the last few years for sure. But he's definitely been bitten by the bug. And then the other thing that I really appreciated and that I was really excited about was during the summer league is how much less he was doing ISO ball. I don't like ISO ball. I don't like one-on-one stuff like you were talking about. We're more team player type guys. We want to see great ball movement. I want to see great passes. The type of stuff that Denver does now, we have some, you know, adverse on both of those. We have the team or the unit or the guys that are sticky and want to do shake and bake and be fancy. And then we have the guys that just want to pass and just want to win and score. And that's my favorite type of basketball. That's what I think basketball really should be played like. When you look at the successful teams like the Spurs and those type of cats who really have that ball movement down, that's what they do. It's all about that teamwork, and it's like artwork on the floor for sure. So I would just say compared to where he's been in the past, I've been a bigger supporter of him. I would say he's been doing better. I like him in his reduced role and the fact that he's not getting as many buckets. I don't want him to be our centerpiece. I never wanted him to at the beginning of the season. And Not that I called Nikola Jokic or thought he was going to be as amazing as he is, but I would rather have somebody like Nikola being our focal point and not let Dino Gallinari. Instead, just having Dino as getting us buckets when we need it and being that kind of vet there that we can rely on for the scoring part. I do hate some of his defensive efforts. Sometimes he just gives up and kind of, you know, runs out to the three real half-assed lazily. But it's one of those things where the defense, when you look at the basics and fundamentals, defense is not a fundamentally sound. They're just so amazingly good that they throw out the fundamentals and they go straight to, you know, the hardest, most difficult things to pull off. So that's just kind of how the league is. I don't love it, but that's kind of my spiel on the whole defensive end thing.
I think going off of that defensive thing, I mean, you said the NBA isn't really a defensive league anymore, and I agree with that. But you see the teams like the Utah Jazz that you look at their lineup and you say, oh, I could – we got this game. I mean, they don't have a crazy scoring unit. I mean, they've got Gordon Hayward, and they've got threats. But their defensive effort is crazy. I mean, I've been to a couple Utah Jazz games the last couple years, and they're fun to watch on the defensive side of the ball. And that's why they're number four in the West right now in a very competitive Western Conference. And I think if we can take a little bit more effort on the defensive side of the ball, starting with some of our vets like Danilo Gallinari, it'll definitely help us going down the road. And one more thing that I want to add in here is I was told by one of my professors here at UNC, it was actually an HR teacher, and he said, if you have an employee that takes a vacation and you don't notice that they're gone, they're expendable. And I think that Danilo Gallinari is one of those guys for us. I mean, he's been out the last few games. I haven't really missed him. And I think that our front office, I mean, you've seen the rumors. I think that our front office is thinking about moving him. And I don't think that that's a bad idea because I haven't noticed him being gone much. And I think that the play of Juancho has been great. And I think getting him more minutes would... I think getting Juancho more minutes would help him for his future as well and the future for the Nuggets too. So, Derek, what are your grades for Danilo?
Nothing crazy. I'll go with a C. I'll say he's par for where he's been and what I expected from him. You know, maybe in a lot of people's eyes, he'll even be less than that. I don't think he's definitely gone above and beyond. He's been clutch for us some parts of this year. Like you said, he's been expendable in my eyes for the last few years. And I hope that doesn't get taken wrong. It's not like I'm not a supporter of the guy. I think he's a great person, you know, from what I hear. Obviously, he doesn't attend those brunches with me, Juancho, and Tim Connolly. But, you know, from what I hear, he's a good guy. He's a pretty decent player. But I think a lot of teams could use a Dino Gallinari, and I think he could be really, really good on a lot of other teams. So I just think he has some value there that hopefully he can pull back in for us. My hopes is that we do some big blockbuster trade him, maybe a couple of our young assets a pick, and maybe pull in like a Paul George. Just for the taking now, I want to say it right here, right now, I think Paul George would be the ultimate fit and the ultimate superstar to really take this Nuggets team to a whole nother level. Whole nother discussion for a whole nother pod, but Paul George to Denver, I would go crazy.
All right, so that'll do it. Those are the six guys that we're going to talk about in this podcast. So if you want to tune into the next one, we're going to be talking about Wilson Chandler, Kenneth Faried, Darrell Arthur, Juancho, Hernan Gomez, and Derek's a huge Juancho fan, I don't know, and Nikola Jokic. So that's going to do it for today. Derek, what do you got?
As always, party people, make sure to go and follow us at Digging Denver on Twitter. Make sure to go check out all of our content. We have some really great stuff, you know, a podcast for the people, by the people, same concept with our site. We have a lot of roundtable discussions and questions, and actually we have some being released on fan-submitted questions that you guys had for us. Make sure to also, on Twitter, we're actually raffling off some more tickets. We've given away 4 tickets total to 2 different games. We have another contest going up right now for some more tickets to be raffled off. So make sure you get in that. All the rules are on the page. It's a free game. We've sent, like I said, a couple people. We've been pretty fortunate to help you know, our Denver fans and give back to you guys and the love that you guys have shown us. One quick note before we get going. I just really want to thank you guys as the fans for giving us this space to talk, for giving us your time. There's a lot of great content out there with very credible people, and the fact that you guys have been listening to our pod and giving us the love, you know, we really appreciate you guys. I know for myself and for Logan as well. So we want to say thank you, Denver. You know, way to show out for our boys and give our boys support. Let's keep this momentum going. You know, have fun during this break, this All-Star break. Like I said, everybody, make sure to go follow us at Digging Denver on Twitter. Make sure to go check out our site. If you have any questions for me, email me, at me at Twitter, and we'll make sure to get to those as soon as we can. This is the end of this episode. Look for Section 2 here coming up soon. We'll release the dates on Twitter. And you guys have a good night. Let's dig in, Denver.
Other things we believe, there's a whole lot of work. We should roll up our sleeves, and we got a whole firm. We're in faithful strength conceiving. Why doubt your plans? Cause it's all worth believing. We can make it work, do believe that. Leave mistrust in the dust and believe that we can achieve tact by tuning out.